with me to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter number 12 in your Bible. I'm going to read the first three verses, the first two of which I'm sure you're very familiar with. More than likely, many of you have committed these two verses to memory. In verse number 1, we read, it begins, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." Verse number 3 says, "For consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds." This evening, the message that I have, again, is a very, very simple thought. In fact, I'm going to portray for you a true story. And at the very end, I'm going to give you the points to our outline. But this evening, the title of our message is simply, "Don't Ring the Bell." We think about all that Christ has done, and we're commanded to consider what He has done. As it says in verse number 3, "Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds." Let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight I ask You to be with us this evening. Lord, I do pray for Your power on this message, Lord. I thank You, dear God, for the thought that was brought to my mind and to my heart. Lord, I beg You, please, would You allow that which I've prepared for in my office, Lord, and that which You have done battle with in my own heart. Lord, I pray that You would allow that to come across this evening in our message. Lord, please give my words the power of the Holy Spirit, that they might not fall onto deaf ears, Lord, that they might rise up above the floor, and Lord, that they would penetrate the hearts of every person here. Lord, from every young person to all the children who are here, Lord, to the oldest among us, I pray that You would help us to see what it is that You're asking of us, Lord, for Your soldiers. For we ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Now, I'll have you be seated. I have told you several times in the past that as I study Scripture, and I'm sure you have as well, and come to the understanding that as God looks at us as born-again believers, and as He tries to draw illustration, as He tries to get our attention using the things whereof we understand perhaps the most, He speaks really about three different areas of our lives. He speaks about the farmer, and I always joke about it, talk about it. I was raised on a farm, and so a lot of the illustrations as far as farming go, they really resonate with me. I understand them because of that. But we see about the farmer in the Bible. We also see about the sportsman, and as we read here, we're compassed about with such a great cloud of witnesses. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race, the sportsman that is in that foot race, the sportsman that has a desire to win the race, the sportsman that has a desire to give every part of his body during that race, not to quit, not to fail, not to come in last, but rather that he would be one that finishes first, or in the first several amongst the racers. So we see here there are these weights that the Bible talks about that we're supposed to lay aside. Now, anyone that's going to train for racing, especially long distance. Now, we understand that the Christian life is certainly not a sprint, but rather it's a marathon. And those who would train for marathons, they will do particular things that will purposefully cause their body agony. Sometimes they'll strap weights around their ankles purposefully to make it hard to take each and every step. Sometimes they'll run through very loose sand that will give the same effect. And it will make each stride very difficult. And then when they finally get to the race, they're able to lay those to the side, and they're able to run the race and laying aside the weight. Then the Bible says, and the sin. Look at it in verse number 1 again. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us. I remember years ago as I heard the preacher point out to me, he said, more than likely most everyone has one particular sin that derails them more than any other thing in your Christian life. Very likely there is that one that you do battle with. Everything else seems to have no problem in your life. Other things that people might battle with on a daily basis, they have no effect on your Christian walk with God. But there is that one sin that seems to hinder you so often. The Bible is asking us and telling us that we're supposed to lay it to the side so that we might be able to run with patience the race that is set before us. In verse number 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy, have you ever wondered what possible joy could Jesus Christ have had in knowing that He was going to go to the cross? Who could call that joyful? The only one that I could imagine that would ever consider the cross and enduring that which was put, the despising, the shame, and finally to be set down at the right hand of the throne of God, the only joy that could ever be contrived from such endurance and such agony would be the joy that knowing that there were going to be countless souls that would come to Jesus Christ and receive Him as their personal Savior. Boy, amen for that. I thank God for those who are getting saved. I thank God. Listen, we have just north of us in North Carolina, a revival. Brother and Mrs. O'Quinn were able to go over there. Maybe some of you have considered it. I've considered it. Thought about what's going on in that state. What's going on in that city, in that town, underneath of that tent. Hundreds and hundreds are coming to Christ. Now, I praise the Lord for that. Would to God that we would have more and many more and thousands before everything is done and spread throughout all of the entire Southeast. Well, what a wonderful blessing that would be. And perhaps catch fire clear across to the west. Oh, that we would see God's revival, that the people of God would truly decide, I want to do something for God because I have a Savior. He is the author. He is the finisher of my faith. And for the joy, I couldn't imagine calling it joy other than the fact that He knows the outcome of what He was going to do. But when we get to verse number 3, we're asked to consider Him that endured such contradiction of sinners against Himself. He endured far more than I could ever describe. I will promise you, He has endured far more than you or I have ever had to endure. When we have a contradiction of someone against us, of someone against our faith, of someone against our Bible, of someone against our God. Oh, we know nothing about the contradiction of sinners against us, as Christ knew against Him. We're being told to consider Him. Why? Lest you be wearied and faint in your own minds. This week I read an account, most of which I'm going to preach to you here this evening. Agony, torture, psychological abuse, mentally stressful, complete exhaustion, physically excruciating, cruel and unusual punishment. These are just a few of the descriptions that a Navy SEAL who has experienced the fourth week of SEAL training in San Diego, California, will endure. These are just a few. And these are the ones that I could repeat of what an individual who has endured such a week would describe as. The week begins on Sunday evening at midnight and ends on Friday around midday. For 5.5 days, these SEALs go through some of the most physical, some of the most emotional and psychological pressure that most of us will never have to endure. There's a gentleman named Jeff Krause who wrote a book, You Want Me to Do What? He is at the writing of the book, and I've not been able to substantiate whether he is now still the only, but he at the writing of the book, and very likely still is the only individual who has ever completed all three trainings for the Army Rangers, the Navy SEALs, and the Green Beret. He's finished all three of them and been successful in completing all three of them. In his book, he gives an extreme vivid description of the week and what it does for the soldiers who are able to endure the entire week and complete their training. And he writes, the crazy thing about the entire week is the recruit can quit anytime he chooses. He does not have to complete the week. The Marines are in wet clothes. They're experiencing freezing water temperatures. They're literally dying of sleep deprivation. All the while, their instructors are in warm clothes, drinking coffee and offering donuts, offering coffee and blankets and a warm shower if you'll just quit. For 5.5 days, their commanding officers are giving them every reason in the book to quit. Just come up here, have some donuts, drink some warm coffee, wrap yourselves in a blanket. We're not going to call you out for it. Just come on up here at any time they can. There's only one rule, however, if you quit. You must go to the beach in front of all of your fellow Marines and you must ring the bell. You ring the bell saying, I quit. Then you're made to drink coffee, eat donuts, and wrap yourself in the warm blankets while you watch the rest of your fellow Marines continue their week of suffering during the training course. Ouch. In the book, he writes of Company 123, who started training with over 70 and ended with 6 Marines. He writes, the hardest thing was not the temperatures, not the lack of sleep, not the verbal abuse or even the physical demands of our training. The hardest thing was keeping your mind right when other people rang the bell. Every time the bell rang, it indicated that another recruit had quit. It took us over an hour just to get our minds right and keep focused so we wouldn't be the next guy to ring the bell. Hence the message title, Don't Ring the Bell. Mr. Krause is literally saying that quitters are the biggest discouragement of the entire week. It's not the physical abuse. Most of those Marines could handle it. Some obviously can't. It's not the excruciating temperatures. And I've watched snippets of documentaries about such a week and all that they're asked to do and lying in the water as the waves come up and nearly want to drown you. And I've seen as these men have gone through unbelievable stretches of time without any sleep, and that little sleep that they would get would only be awakened by another commanding officer coming into the barracks and barging in at full volume and telling them to wake up and get going again. You see, it wasn't the physical abuse. It was simply when they would hear the sound of that bell, someone rang the bell. Oh, more people quit because of quitters than because of the conditions during the week, he writes. God compares the Christian life to the race that is being run here in Hebrews chapter number 12. And he makes it abundantly clear that there are some who will quit the race. In verse number 3, for consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your own minds. We know that there are those who will quit. We know that there are those who will ring the bell. As the writer here of Hebrews, as I've said, I believe it's Paul, as he's writing this, he's quite possibly, as God is inspiring, he's quite possibly reminding himself of those who rang the bell in his ministry. Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. John Mark that walked out in the ministry. And I'm sure there are countless others that Paul never once named in Scripture. Do you think it was probably only these 2 or 3 that Paul would have mentioned? And of all the years that that he was a preacher of the gospel, and all that he endured, and all of the imprisonment, and all of the beatings, and all of the contradiction of sinners against his message. Do you think there's only two or three that would have cashed it in and rung the bell? Absolutely not. I'm sure there are countless others that hopped on board for a time and then realized, I'm going to quit, and they cashed in and they rang the bell. See, He makes it abundantly clear, God does, that there are going to be those who will quit the race. Why? Because they get weary and they faint in their own minds. But you understand, the writer here of Hebrews also reminds us just a few verses before. In Hebrews 11, verse number 32, what shall I more say? For the time would fail me of Gideon, and of Barak, and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David also, and Samuel, and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the fire of the violence, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured. See, now we enter into the area of those that did not get the betterment of society. Now we read, beginning in the middle of verse 35, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bond and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the swords, and they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, that they wandered in deserts and in mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. All these, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They didn't even get to see the crucifixion, the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But they knew that it was coming. They knew that it was coming. This afternoon, I had opportunity to listen to a snippet of a message by Brother David Gibbs, and he was talking about the rendition of the Star Spangled Banner of Francis Scott Key as he penned it. And there is no way that I could give eloquence to as David Gibbs his ability to speak to people and to tell a story. But he begins talking about the boat that Francis Scott Key was on and the prisoners that were held captive underneath the hull, and at some point there was an agreement that the prisoners were going to be released, but the commanding British officer said, well, it's not going to matter anyway, because we're going to devastate the fort that you see right over there, the flag that's flying right now. By the time the sun comes up in the morning, it will be fallen and the war will be over. We will have won. They'll be released anyway. And Francis Scott Key is, it's told, as he watches the entire scene unfold, those that were down being held captive, they were continuing to ask, what's happened with our flag? What's happened with our flag? And he, as the song gives understanding of the rocket's red glare and the bombs bursting in air, and they could finally, throughout the night, he could see that the flag was still there. And when the sun comes up, now that tattered and worn and beaten flag was still standing, even though it was askew and barely hanging on. And when they were able to finally realize what happened, they saw that man and son after man and son after father and on would go, knowing that that very flag was the flag that the British Army was releasing every single one of its arsenal against. Only to find that there were those who were willing to say, I know that my death will provide a better life for my children. And in the morning's light, the flag stood strong. I think of this passage when I heard that. Those that were sawn asunder and all of the detail. And as gruesome as these few verses seem, I promise you they do not give us even near the grossness of what all happened. Why? Why would they do such a thing? Because they didn't want to ring the bell. They didn't want to ring the bell. They knew that there were those who were going to be following behind. They knew that there were going to be those that would watch their very lives. Oh, we have the great hall of faith as it's described all the way from the beginning of Hebrews 11. And we see the faith of all of these different men and all these different women. And we've gone through it. We've systematically taken it and we've looked at Hebrews more than once. But you see, the Christian life, it is a great joy when we see the joy that over in chapter number 12 and verse number 2, who, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him. You see, the Christian life is one of great joy, but it requires a great amount of discipline, and it requires a great amount of endurance if we're going to cross the finish line and accomplish anything that God has asked us to accomplish. It's going to take endurance to get through. Don't ring the bell. There are going to be moments when you and I will want to quit. There are going to be times where we're going to want to ring the bell. Can I say, please, don't ring the bell. It might be you tonight. It might be you that you're saying, I don't think I can go any further. I don't think I can endure any more hard knocks. I don't think that God could allow any worse things in my life. I've had so much devastating news on this front, and I hear others on this side, and it seems like there are bombs bursting all around me, and I just can't take another step. Please, please don't ring the bell. Don't quit tonight. I want to remind you of several things that happen when you ring the bell. Before you decide to quit, I want us to understand these things. Number one, if you're going to take notes, you can write these things down. Number one, the race has already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. The race has already been won. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. It's already been won. Don't ring the bell. Why? Because the race has already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, don't ring the bell because the race has already been run by other believers. It's already been won by the Lord Jesus Christ, but it has already been run by hundreds and thousands of believers before you and me that did not ring the bell, that would not quit. I wonder tonight, how many born-again believers would say, oh, I'm not going to ring that bell. I'm not going to diminish the cause of Christ. Cut me in half if you want to. Put me before a firing squad if you want to. Burn me at the stake if you want to. My God's grace is sufficient for me. I wonder how many Christians would say that this evening. I pray that we will never have to face that. I mean that with every fiber of my body. I pray that we'll never have to face those types of days. I pray that we'll never go through a time of what was called the Dark Ages, where Christians were burned for their belief in Jesus Christ. But understand this, there are those who have already run the race, and they did not quit. I believe we can make it too. I believe if there were those who were asked and told and commanded that they would recant their belief in Jesus Christ, and if not, their wife and their children would suffer death. Not the individual himself, not the man himself, not the preacher himself, but his wife and his children. I pray that we would have that much courage. And I would never want to wish that on anyone. I would never want to wish that on my wife or my children. Oh, ever, dear Lord God, please don't let it be. But I pray that God would give me the courage to say there is no way that I can go back on what my Savior has done for me. Do with me and my family what you will in this life, because we've got a life after this that is far better than anything that we've gone through now. And no, I'm not looking forward to the day where that might actually have to happen. But let's not ring the bell, because there are others who have already run the race. Number three, if you ring the bell, you will discourage other people. If you ring the bell, there will be those who are following you that will say, why should I continue on? Why should I go any further? In the years that I've been in the ministry, the years that I've pastored here, many years prior to that God allowed me to work in different aspects of ministry, as I'm sure most of you could say, I've watched many ring the bell. I've watched countless. I don't know how to phrase this. To me, when someone quits, it has never discouraged me from what I know God wants me to do. But I don't even know how to describe what it does to my heart and how it hurts to watch people. And I'm not talking about the periphery. I'm talking about the strong who ring the bell. The one that you thought will never quit, quits. Several years ago when we were in our church in California, we had a pastor whom I love, Pastor Fisher, Doug Fisher out of San Diego. He came and he was preaching a building conference. And as he was preaching, he was saying, listen, there are going to be those in this auditorium. There are going to be those in this very auditorium that 5 years from now, you won't be here. You'll have quit by 5 years from now. And if not 5 years from now, there are going to be even more 10 years from now. It's not going to be that you've moved out of the town. Hey, it's not going to be that something happened to you physically. It's going to be that you quit. You decided to ring the bell. And I sat in that seat right over here. I wasn't pastoring at the time. And I sat and I thought, Lord, how could that possibly be? I'm looking out. At the time that this message was being preached, we had a strong, and the church is still strong. I'm not trying to say it's not. But those who were there, some strong, strong individuals. And I thought to myself, how could any of these people quit? And you know how, unfortunately, you know how human frailty is. As I look out and he's preaching this, I'm looking at those who are in the congregation and they're watching and they're listening. And I'm looking thinking, well, surely it wouldn't be him. Surely it wouldn't be her. Surely there's no way that they would be the one. And within the next 5 to so years, it's unbelievable. Those that I thought, that very night, I thought, well, no, it won't ever be them. I know them. Boy, I know their character. I know their strength. Well, praise the Lord. God, thank you for them. Thank you that I can look to them. And they quit. Why not ring the bell? Because it's going to discourage those around you. Young people, don't quit. Because if you do, it's going to discourage some young people around you. Do you understand that? You are a leader to someone. Everyone leads someone. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your character is. Everyone leads someone. If you decide to ring the bell and if you decide to quit, you understand. You'll sit on the beach and you'll watch everyone else. And you'll watch those who you discouraged ring the bell. And you'll watch their lives as their lives take a complete detour away from God. And you'll watch as they make a wreck out of their life. And you could trace it back, perhaps, to the day that you decided, I'm done. And it might be that you're here tonight and you're looking to someone who is leading you and they rang the bell. Don't be the next one then. Decide tonight, I will not quit. That's not going to be the reason for me. Just because someone else was discouraged doesn't mean I need to be. Oh, let's not ring the bell. Number four, if you ring the bell, you will join a long list of washouts who never endured and saw what God's best was for their life. If you ring the bell, you will join a very long list of those who went AWOL. Away without leave, you walked out. I don't want you to be part of that list. God doesn't want you to be part of that list. Your family deserves for you not to be part of that list. Your brothers and sisters in Christ deserve for you not to be part of that list. Your children deserve for you not to be part of that list. Your parents deserve for you not to be part of that list of those who quit, rang the bell, sat up on the shore as you watched your family continue on for God. As you watched your parents continue on for God. As you watched your children continue on for God. Oh, don't be part of that list. Don't be sitting up there on the sidelines watching everyone else endure the affliction, the contradiction of sinners against what they're doing for God. Number five, if you ring the bell, you will always wonder what could have been. What could have been? I wonder how many of those in the Christian life who have quit, I wonder how many of them in the back recesses of their mind think to themselves, I wonder what God could have done with me if I would have just stayed. And because of embarrassment, they won't come back. Oh, dear Lord God, please let them come back. Please let them come back. We don't need to have someone else sitting on the sidelines wondering and thinking to themselves, I wonder what would have been. I wonder what would have been if I just would have kept with it. God has called us in Philippians 3 and verse number 10. God has called us into the fellowship of His sufferings. And that includes everything that God asks for us to go through for His cause. It might be the sawing of asunder. It might be the cruel mockings. It might be those who were tempted, those who were slain with the sword, those who wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, and yes, of whom the world is not worthy. You understand what God's saying? Those who continued on, those who endured all of these things, God says the world itself isn't worthy of what they've done. Oh, I want to be in that number. I want to be in that number. Not so that I can say, oh, look at me, world, you're not worthy of me. But rather so that I can look at God and say, dear Lord God, I'm not worthy of you. Because I'm not. Don't quit. Jesus didn't quit. Don't quit. The heroes of the faith didn't quit. Don't quit. There are those who are following you who don't want to quit. Amen. I go back to the SEAL training. And those Marines who are in that water, they have to refocus their mind after someone else quit because they don't want to quit. But for the next hour or longer, they're just trying to get themselves to focus back to the job. All because somebody else rang the bell. And they're up there on the shore, warm, full belly, watching me suffer right now. Oh, let's not quit because there are foes following us. And let's not quit because we have no idea what God might do with your life. We have no idea what God might do with your life. I will, as I've told you for so many years, I never dreamed what all God would do with my life. I never dreamed it. At one point I thought, well, maybe I'll pastor. And it wasn't too long before I thought, well, that's certainly never going to happen. That's not what God's plan is for my life. Finally, I submitted and I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want. I'll go into the full-time service of you. And I thought, I'll be a second man for the rest of my life. I liked that position. It wasn't too tough. Wasn't too demanding. I liked that. I didn't have to give answer to anything. I could say, man, I don't know. You better go talk to preacher. I liked those days. I liked that. I never had any idea what God might do. You see, if you quit. I've had people quit in my life. If I had quit because they quit. I have no idea where I'd be right now. I have no idea where I'd be right now. And I will say, I've had people in my life who got into the race. Had they not got into the race, I have no idea where I'd be right now. If they would have decided, it's not even worthy, it's not even worth my time to get in the race in the first place, they're joining the race impacted me so heavily that I have no idea where I'd be right now if it weren't for those that went on before me and decided, I will get in the race and I'll not ring the bell. Let's have a word of prayer to Heavenly Father. Lord, please tonight, I pray You'd help us not to quit. Lord,
as I said at the beginning, such a simple thought. Oh, but dear God, how profound it is. If we ring the bell, Lord, there are going to be those around us that are going to be discouraged. There are going to be those around us who are going to be confused. There are going to be those around us who are going to say, I never would have thought it would have been her, it would have been him. Oh, dear Lord God, please don't ever let me ring the bell. Lord, don't ever let me quit. Lord, those around me whom I love, Lord, I pray that they would never quit. I pray that they would just keep marching on, Lord, that they would be the soldier that You've called them to be. They wouldn't entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. Oh, Lord, I pray that You would help us to be determined, dear God. We would decide, I will not ring the bell. I will not quit. Tonight, your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I'll not ask you about your salvation. If you're not saved, I beg you, would you make sure of that tonight? Would you take care of it? But I'm going to ask you. I'm not going to ask if you're ready to quit. I'm not going to ask if you're going to quit. I'm just simply going to ask you, are you willing to say that I will ask God to give me strength not to quit? Is that you tonight? Well, my hand is up all across the auditorium. Lord, I don't want to quit. Don't let that be me. Don't let that be me. Lord, tonight I pray You just be with us. Help us to make these decisions, dear God. This is something that is not just a one time. Although, Lord, to make a purposeful decision in our heart certainly cannot be discounted. Lord, I pray maybe a young person here this evening would say, I make tonight, July 3rd, 2016, I am deciding that I will not ring that bell. Lord, it might be one of the men here this evening that would say, tonight I am making that decision that I will not ring the bell. Lord, I will not quit. Whoever it might be, dear God, whoever needs to make that decision, Lord, I beg You, please help them to make that tonight. Lord, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand, if you will. The piano will begin playing. Oh, would you come down this evening and would you say, Lord, don't let it be me. I will not quit. Don't let me ring that bell. Oh, would you come down this evening and ask Him for the strength to make sure that you don't. You come as she plays.